Hi everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the All Plane Podcast, where we talk with the movers and shakers that are redefining the future of commercial aviation. For this first episode of 2025, we're going to look at one of the most, if not the most, in capital letters, vibrant aviation markets right now in the world, India. Many of you are most likely already familiar with the tremendous growth of the commercial aviation industry in India, but perhaps less well known is the growth that is also taking place in parallel with airlines in the executive aviation segment of the market. And big plans are being drawn for the development of advanced air mobility sector in India as well. So we're going to talk about all of this today with Kanika Tekriwal, founder and CEO of India's largest integrated executive aviation operator, JetSetGo. Kanika and JetSetGo are also planning some really interesting projects in the field of sustainable aviation and advanced air mobility in India. But as usual, before we get into our conversation with Kanika, a quick parenthesis to remind you that all previous episodes of this podcast, as well as many other aviation stories, are available on the Allplane website. That's allplane.tv. Allplane.tv. There, of course, you can subscribe to the Allplane newsletter, which I send out pretty much every week with a roundup of the most interesting and relevant stories in the field of aviation sustainability and innovation in the aviation industry. And now let's go back to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed this rather casual and impromptu conversation that we had with Kanika during the recent MIBA Executive Air Show in Dubai in December 2024. In this regard, I would like to apologize in advance because, as you will notice, there's quite a lot of background noise. We had our conversation actually not in a studio or on Zoom, but at the air show's venue. And there was quite a bit of movement around that. So apologies for the less than ideal sound quality. But I hope this gets compensated by the fact that Kanika is a great speaker and she's absolutely passionate about the aviation industry. She's also a very successful entrepreneur. Kanika has not only built what is today's possibly the top private jet operator in India over the period of the last 10 years, but she also has truly ambitious plans to continue developing JetSetGo into one of the major players globally. These plans include also investing into truly new aircraft technologies like the electrically powered ultra-short takeoff and landing aircraft being developed by US firm Electra, as well as eVTOL aircraft, which could become a truly transformative force when you consider the sort of challenges that exist in urban transportation in India and what air taxis and eVTOLs can mean when it comes to being able to move between different points in these huge sprawling cities. And in this particular field, in eVTOLs, JetSetGo has been particularly active. It's got a pre-agreement, or let's say a letter of intent, with a Canadian eVTOL developer called Horizon. And shortly before the publication of this podcast, JetSetGo also signed a partnership with Eve, the eVTOL development arm of Embraer, to develop some air traffic management systems as well. So there's plenty going on in the advanced air mobility sector in India as well. And I think it's best if I just stop talking now and I welcome Kanika to the podcast.
So Kanika, good to see you today.
Thank you. Lovely seeing you, Mikhail. I'm so glad to be doing this.
And great setting here at MIBA in Dubai, where everyone in the executive aviation industry is here to see what's going on in this part of the world.
Absolutely.
Middle East and India as well. It's part of this growth story. I just wanted to ask you a few things about JetSetGo, because you are the leader, I think, operating in executive aviation in a market that is very, very promising. Everyone is saying that India is the next growth story for executive aviation. So I have quite a few things to ask you, and I think it will be very interesting for everyone to learn more about what's going on.
Absolutely. Thank you, Michael. I'm very excited to talk about India. Yeah.
So first of all, I think it would be good to set the stage. You are the founder and you are the director of JetSetGo.
Yes.
What is JetSetGo? Tell us in a few words what you guys do, because I think you have different services all
of
in
course.
This space. You've been in the market for over 10 years.
Finished 10 years in November 27th. But I think, yeah, Mikhail, for us, JetSetGo is primarily a one-stop executive aviation shop, is the way I would put it. So we have our own AOC. We operate a number of planes that we own under the AOC. Then we also manage a lot of aircrafts for various owners. We have our own MRO, where we do a lot of maintenance, mostly for our planes. And we're also in the AM space. So we're doing a lot of work in advanced air mobility in India. We're in fact working with two of our partners, one of whom I think you're very familiar with, Electra, as well.
Yes, indeed. And, we had here on the podcast, we had a person that is now at Electra. He used to lead a startup, an electric aviation startup that got acquired by Electra.
Of course,
and he's now has a senior management role at Electra. I'm talking about Mark Ausman.
Amazing person. I love him. Yeah.
I'm going to put a link the show notes so that everyone can check that one as well, because I think some of the technology was also taken into the Electra project that we can talk about.
Yeah.
And actually, that's also one of the things that I think it's very interesting of what you're doing, is that you have this also this interest in this advanced mobility and electric aviation, and you are also looking into this space for towards the future. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
You said you are, you have your own AOC, you have your own fleet as well, which I've seen it's pretty diverse.
Absolutely.
You cover all the, pretty much
all the
categories.
Sizes, absolutely,
yeah. So what is the most important part of your business? What's your core business? Is it operating your own fleet? Is it managing fleets for other
customers? I think our core business is charter, which we, charter services, which we provide using our own fleet as well as our owner fleet. And why it's charter, Mikhail, for us is because I personally believe India's never had a great service provider come out of India.
Mm-hmm.
And what we wanted to fix in the charter industry was, we don't want a customer turning up for a flight and be told that, oh, the aircraft's gone AOG, or this is wrong, or we've upgraded, or we've downgraded your plane.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to make this industry such in India that customers didn't have to worry about going from A to B.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I started out in the business, a lot of customers would say, you know, we're paying the price, we're doing everything, but 2 out of 10 flights get cancelled. I think that's what we're here to clean up, you
mm-hmm.
know, and we're here to make business aviation more efficient, more economical. I mean, you can't make business aviation economical, but I would say value for money for the customer, you know,
so,
and I think that's what we're working towards. Even the reason we started our own MRO as well was because you didn't have an MRO in India providing quality services.
For executive aviation.
You mm-hmm. had most people's planes going out of the country to be serviced. And the amazing part is it was Indian engineers who were moving out of the country to work on Indian planes at international MROs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, you know, it's bring the people back to the country, do what uh-huh. the Indian country needs. And India is going to be the largest market in the next 3 years. I mean, you look at the kind of sales Dassault has done. You look at the kind of sales Bombardier is being doing in India. So they're all very serious about India, because India is going to shine, and there's no one who can take
that's
that
a strong away. Statement, huh? Still, the U.S. still, I think, is more than
Oh, no, absolutely. No doubt. Yeah. U.S. is the biggest market. But if you look at the developing nations, and you know,
outside
you look
of
at
the U.S.
I mean, you can't match the U.S. by a far mile, of course.
Yeah.
But I think, and the other thing is, you know, I think executive aviation is critical to India, right?
Uh-huh.
For the pure reason that India has over 240 airstrips, out of which only 120 odd are connected by commercial airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So all the balance actually are covered using executive aviation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what you're going to see is, in India, you're going to see a lot more larger planes come in, like the
uh-huh.
7500s, the A220 and such. And you're going to see a lot more smaller planes come in also. I think
uh-huh.
it's the right time for a plane like a Honda Jet and a CJ2 and a CJ3. Because you have people who are new billionaires, you know, a lot of new money, a lot of new UHNIs. And they're the ones who drive this economy more or less, right?
Yeah. How many planes you have right now?
We
own fleet.
We own 10 in our own fleet, and we manage a few others. Yeah.
And which types?
So all types. So you're starting from a CJ2, going up to a global across the spectrum. Yeah.
Uh huh. And you are based where in India?
So our headquarters are in Delhi, but uh-huh. we've got offices in Delhi, Hyderabad, Bangalore, Chennai, Bombay.
Uh-huh.
And our fleet is more of a floating fleet, is what I like to call it, because
well, I guess it moves depending on demand.
Exactly,
where the plane is.
I mean, we go where the customers are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But MRO is based in.
MRO is based between Delhi and Hyderabad.
Okay, yeah. Very good. And I guess this growth of executive aviation in India is also part of the bigger India growth story, because we are seeing in commercial aviation as well.
Oh yeah,
amazing,
yeah.
Huge orders.
The largest orders on earth.
Largest orders ever.
Yeah.
I lost count already, like Air India, Indigo have
exactly,
so many
yeah.
hundreds. I don't know if any of these
it was
guys
Air
got
India,
to 1,000 already.
Indigo, yeah. I think in Air India has a few thousand or something. I'm not sure, I could be wrong. But,
we need to check the numbers.
Hopefully
again.
We'll soon make those big orders in executive aviation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the plan, obviously, but let's see.
And who are your typical customers? Is it Indian businessmen, people from outside India that come to India and need to travel in the country? Tell us a bit more about
that.
So
I think it's a combination of customers, Mikhail, to
uh-huh.
be honest. Our primary customer base is the businessman. You know,
uh-huh.
it's the person who wants to cover 3 cities in one day, do
yeah.
3 meetings or 3 factories. But I think what's really opening up in India now is the leisure market.
Uh-huh.
And whilst most industries complain about COVID actually killing them, I think executive aviation is something that COVID actually gave a life to,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
And post-COVID, you've seen a huge leisure travel market open up. So that used to be about 4 to 5% of our market share. Okay. Now that's gone up to almost 25-30% of our core offering, which is a big difference. The other thing is also the government, political parties, they contribute a substantial amount of business. Celebrities, you know, a lot of. So unlike the US, where you have a lot of celebrities own their own planes,
yes.
In India, you, not one celebrity owns their own plane.
Yeah, yeah.
So you basically have a lot of people who hire planes from all of us and do their flying. Yeah.
And what is the mix between domestic and international?
I mean, for us at Jet Set Go, I would say 80-20. You know, and
80 domestic, 20 international.
And you got to face it. Like today, you know, there is such great service available on commercial airlines for international that. Not a lot many customers really want to, you see that need to use private jets to go international. But domestic, there is a big gap. And I think even if someone gets 50 more planes, that gap won't be fulfilled. There's still need for more and there's still demand for more.
You also manage aircraft for other owners, right? And, and provide, do you make them available on as a on charter as well as a kind of broker?
So it really depends on the owner, to be honest. You know, some owners want their planes to be available for charter, some owners don't want their planes available for charter. So it's a, if the owner wants the plane to be available for charter, we offer it for charter. If they don't, we don't.
Because I've seen also, you also offer empty legs as well on your platform. Yeah. So you have a digital platform where you
of
can
course,
book flights.
Yeah.
I guess you can also book charter, you use your own fleet, but do you use also other operators?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we've tied up with almost all the operators in the country, I would say. Because the idea is, you know, at Jet Set Go, we're fleet agnostic, we're aircraft agnostic. The idea is for the industry to go, the idea is for the industry to fly. And, you know, my objective when I started Jet Set Go was to get every single private jet operator under one umbrella. And I started this 10 years ago, so you can imagine it's been a long cycle. We didn't plan on owning aircraft.
So you started as a broker?
As an aggregator.
Absolutely. And then you started building your own fleet.
Because what we realized was the demand was greater than supply in the country. And we had to fulfill that demand. So they said, okay, fine, let's figure out a way and get some planes. So we leased a few planes, we bought a few planes, and we made it work since then.
And are there specific markets that are more that are busier for executive aviation? I guess Mumbai and Delhi are possibly the.
Of course, I think Delhi is one of the busiest.
Yeah.
And Bombay has a lot of its own issues. You don't get parking of aircraft. You don't have slots. So I think Bombay is, you know, dying a slow death, but it will come back up with a new airport opening in India, in Bombay the next year. But I think the south of India is where the real opportunity is now.
Bangalore,
Chennai, Hyderabad. These are the upcoming you know, cities with a lot of demand that will be coming in.
Okay. And you've been also very active in, as we were saying, in the field of innovation and looking ahead about all the drive to make aviation cleaner as well. And can you tell us about your projects in this field? Because you recently were in Virginia in the US for the unveiling of the Electra Aero new 9-seater hybrid electric aircraft. Which is an amazing aircraft. It's not vertical takeoff and landing, but almost, because it's a very short, ultra short takeoff and landing. So it's very versatile in where it can take off and land. So it, in the market where you operate, could be really useful to reach out to many new locations across the country. Yeah.
So yeah, I think, Mikhail, for me, I'm going to answer that question in a few parts. But you said Electra unveiling, so I'm going to talk about that first.
Yeah, sorry, because you have also, I didn't mention it, but you also an eVTOL, I think an eVTOL partnership as well,
yes?
We can, we can talk about
absolutely.
That as well.
So I think for me, Electra was a life-changing moment, like, you know, just sitting, when they invited me to go there, I was still confused whether I'm going to go or not go, because, you know, it's quite a lot of time to get to Virginia.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I went, because, you know, I saw what the future of the world is going to be, and being in front of my eyes. And I felt so glad to be a part of that team, to witness that, because, you know, I think Electra has the most fantastic team I have seen in this industry. And I'm not kidding when I say this, but, you know, be it Mark Hausman, be it the other Mark, be it their founder, be it Diana.
Yeah.
These guys have made something that is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when can you imagine standing in your parking lot outside here at NEVA and having this plane take off and, you know, get you wherever. And I think STOL is the future because it's easier, it's simpler, you know, it's a lot more, less uncomplicated.
Yeah, that's a sales pitch is actually that it doesn't have the complication
of an eVTOL,
because it's a traditional takeoff and landing, but it's very short takeoff and landing.
It's extremely short. I mean, you know, imagine a parking lot. And you know why it works for me for India is, so we've had a lot of, you know, OEMs reach out to us to partner with us in our AAM journey. And I've been on this AAM journey since 2018, when people used to laugh at me that what is this urban air mobility, nothing's going to take off, all of that. And, you know, after, out of all the products we've seen, why I'm such a big fan of Electra is they're real.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not talking stuff which will take your leap years to be certified, leap years to go ahead. They've got some very real understanding of the Indian market. Our challenge in India today is you've got over 1,000 districts in the country.
Yeah.
None of them have airports.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically a person travels, you know, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours by bus, train, road to get to an airport.
Yeah, and the road infrastructure can be challenging.
Exactly,
well,
right. And, you know, and what are you doing? You're fixing that solution. You're saying, boss, I will come to you, you know, in your parking lot. Don't build me an airport. Don't build me anything. I will take off with you. I will land you close to an airport, put you on a plane and get you to the next city.
Yeah.
And if that's not India shining, what is India shining? So, you know, which is why, I mean, I remember standing on stage there speaking as a customer and, you know, I said, this is the best thing that could be happening for my country. Uh-huh. And which is why I'm such a big fan of theirs. And, you know, I really hope they're going to make success very soon. So I think that's on Electra. But I think overall at Jet Set Go, our mission's always been to enable the fastest possible connectivity from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
That's the vision I started the company with. And that's exactly what I want to achieve. That's my only goal. When I wake up every morning, I'm like, how do I get someone, you know, from here to there in the fastest possible manner?
Yeah.
And whether I do that using, you know, bullock carts, or whether I do that using urban mobility, I've got to do it, right?
Yeah.
So I think for us, which is why for the last 7 years almost, we've been working on this journey of, you know, making urban air mobility happen. As we are right now, we're working with the regulator, we've come up with the CONOPS, and we're working with the draft, regulation on how this is going to change, how it's going to go ahead in the country.
Yeah.
And I think very exciting times, you know, you're going to probably see in the next 3 years a lot happen in this country and in this space.
Yeah.
And so I think urban air mobility is, you know, what we're betting all of our money on at Jet Set Go. And we've got a great team who is very driven. So in fact, my chief strategy officer, Jonathan, who heads this, I think, wakes up every morning trying to think if he's going to, you know, what he can reinvent, what he can do new to make this happen. So we're all very excited about it.
How many people you have now at Jet Set Go?
So in our team, we've got about 140 people. We've got 200 people. I'm sorry. Wow. Yeah, we're 200 people. See, I'm sorry.
You've been growing fast.
Growing fast. Yeah, 10 years, 200 people, not bad.
Yeah, very good. And tell me about eVTOL, because you, I think, have also a partnership. I don't know what's the nature of this deal or partnership you have with them, with a company called Horizon.
Of course, Horizon.
That is an eVTOL developer.
Of course.
I must say, I don't know much about them.
Yeah.
What can you tell me, and what are your plans for that?
So I think, you know, so the way I look at the trajectory in the whole urban air mobility market is, it's going to be STOL first and then eVTOL.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be piloted first and then unmanned, you know, but you're far away from unmanned. So just to go into a little detail, we did a project back in 2017, 2018 for an OEM where we used helicopters to replicate what eVTOLs would be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the normal customer was afraid to fly in a helicopter with a pilot.
Yeah.
So can you imagine putting that customer in an eVTOL with an iPad in front of him and saying, here's no pilot, go fly it, right?
Yeah.
So I think for me, what our biggest learning was that there exists a massive market. There exists a big problem to solve, but with the right machine. And I think Horizon, you know, does that for us. They've got great technology. If you look into what they're building, they've really come very far, a very far way in a very short amount of time.
Where are they
now? I think they're going to close to doing one of their first commercial demos, if I'm right. I'm not too sure about that.
Yeah.
But they've got a great set of people again. So I think any of these products today are driven by the people that they've got, right?
You know,
without the right people, you're not going to have the right product. And Electra is a big example of that again. So we've got a partnership with Horizon on that. And we're also currently with, I mean, MOU under confidentiality with two more eVTOL operators, which will hopefully be announcing sometime soon, where we'll be probably doing some work on more eVTOLs that we hope to bring into India.
What's the general, let's say, attitude towards eVTOLs in India? Because, for example, where we are now in Dubai, they have very, defined plans to bring them into service as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Other places, it's not so clear, because there's a whole lot that depends on regulation, on public attitudes to them.
Of course.
What's the situation in India? Is there any sort of government strategy or public awareness of what an eVTOL is and what can bring to in terms of mobility?
So I think, Miguel, what I love about our government, and you know, that's why this government is still here and still it's come on in power third term, is because it's a very forward-looking government. And it's not a government which worries about, you know, what's the world going to say. It's a government which does what is right for the country. And I'm surprised as to how supportive and how encouraging the government's been in making eVTOLs happen in India. Like, there's a push from the government side to all of us that go out there, do something, build this, you know, keep pushing it, which is phenomenal, right? It's exactly what we need. People, I think, you know, India has the largest young population at the end of the day. And unlike Japan or China or whatever, I mean, we've got the largest number of millennials in the world.
Yeah.
And these are guys who are on Instagram and Snapchat all day. So, you know, I think they're probably more excited about eVTOLs than all of us are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the perfect environment. The other main thing is you're solving a very real problem.
Yeah.
You know, I think traffic infrastructure has been an issue that India has suffered with historically for a very long time.
Yeah, and you have huge cities as well.
Exactly. So I think, you know, early adapters is not going to be, you know, commercial use where you and me are flying from home to office. I think early adapters is going to be cargo, early adapters is going to be fire, early adapters is going to be rescue, emergency response, medevac, I mean. And, you know, simple stuff, organ transplant. Today, if you look at India, you know, I remember many years ago, we had a heart available in an airport in a hospital in Chennai, which had to be transplanted to a patient in Hyderabad. Just getting the heart there was impossible because it has to go body to body in a certain amount of time, which I can't recall. If you have EV, and it wasn't the flying between Hyderabad and Chennai that was a challenge. It was a road time.
Yeah.
You know, from the hospital in Hyderabad to the airport in Hyderabad, hospital in Chennai to the airport in Chennai, there's traffic.
Yeah.
So if you have an eVTOL doing this, you know, you're going to be saving so many more lives. So I see the first 6-7 months of first year to be very specific air corridors of operations.
Yes.
You know, very safe air corridors, number one. Number two, very specific areas of operation.
Uh-huh.
Probably not utilizing commercial passengers.
How does this fit into your future growth plans? I'm talking about Jet Set Go now. What do the next... Because I guess all these technologies, even electric, which is relatively at an advanced stage, might take some time. I don't know, by the way, do you have an order for electric aircraft?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have
how
an
many?
Order. 50 plus 50.
50 plus 50.
Yeah.
100 in second theory in total. When are they supposed to be delivered?
So I don't think we have a timeline on that yet, obviously.
Okay.
But the way I look at it, you know, I don't see the first flights happening before 2027, 2028.
Okay, yeah.
Anyone who says first flight's going to happen 2026 is talking rubbish, according to me.
Well,
but,
we must say that Electra has a demonstrator, a small
demonstrator,
two-seater now.
It's just flown with two people, so you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're talking about the nine-seater one, which is
the
commercial model. How do the next few years of Jet Set Go look like? You continue to grow the conventional fleet,
of course,
and then start growing also in these.
So I think, again, for us, it's three different areas very specifically. One is we continue to focus on what we do best, which is provide the best services, the best aircraft to our private jet customer. The second big thing that we're focusing on now is going to be the MRO space.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, you know, I want to basically... really, really have the best MRO services be available in India, you know, at the right cost. I want Indian engineers to work in India. I want to make India proud. And that's my bigger focus. I think that's going to be the second big thing that we focus on. And actually four, if you look at it. So third big thing we're looking at is also training and skilling. And I think that's also something that's very crucial, where you have to feed manpower in for the future, right?
Yeah, what's the
situation have skilled
now?
Manpower.
Because everyone in the world, there's a bit of a shortage of
qualified
pilots,
if you look at it
technicians.
Today, beyond pilots and technicians, you know, ground support staff, private jet salespeople, you know, you're picking up people who are selling cars, picking up people who are selling luxury goods and trying to ask them to sell planes. No, I want the person selling a plane to be someone who knows so much about aviation.
Yeah.
Who was formally trained in aviation. So I think, you know, this is my passion project. It's not a money project, but I want to create an institute which trains and skills people in executive aviation specifically. You know, come out of the curriculum, do that. And of course, the main thing that I'm very, very excited about is building the urban air mobility landscape in India. And we're also looking at it from the infrastructure perspective, where we also want to build infrastructure, not only be the operator. So we're evaluating all sides to see how do we go forward on that.
So with all this, I mean, riding this wave of growth and also playing your active part in also helping grow this market.
Course,
how
yeah.
big can Jet Set Go be in, let's say,
the
10
biggest
years
in
time?
The world? No, but you know, on a serious note, I think 10 years from now we're looking at, you know, at least doing $3 to $4 billion worth of top line. And I think we struggled. You know, we've really worked hard the last 10 years to build the company where it is. We've not raised serious money. We've always been profitable, which is very unlike an aviation company. We've demonstrated profitability year on year on year sustainably. And I think that's a trajectory I want to go it on. But, you know, I think now it's time where you're going to see exponential change happen in the industry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only industry that's never been disrupted.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only industry where nothing has changed over the longest period of time. And I think now is that time where you see disruption happen, where you'll see change happen, where you'll see new things come in. And I think that's the change we want to be a part of. You know, that's the wind beneath our wings.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, very, very ambitious, and I can feel the energy here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're sitting here in this amazing airport here in Dubai with all these jets around I can really feel your passion for this field.
Thank you so much.
Just, I would like to finish with one personal question.
Of course.
What is your favorite executive jet?
You know, all my friends out here with their planes parked will shoot me. Sorry if I tell you what my favorite is. But you know, to be very honest, I'm actually a big fan of the Airbus 220. And I think it's such a fantastic plane.
Beautiful.
It's value for money.
Yeah.
You know, it does 12 hours range nonstop. You can carry so much luggage in it. I'm an Indian. I love hot food. I love carrying a lot of things.
Yeah.
I can have a nice shower. And you know, when you compare it to other planes in that category, if you look at a 7500 or if you look at an 8X or whatever, you don't get that comfort that you're getting in an A220. So if I could afford one, I would buy one tomorrow.
I can tell you that we had here on this podcast two episodes with people from Comlux.
Mm-hmm.
Including the CEO of Comlux.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
We were talking for quite a long time during the episode about the 220. Which
See, there you go.
The executive version of the A220 airliner, but converted by, well, it's a joint project between Airbus and very active participation of Comlux as well. I've also been inside today and it's really stunning.
It's amazing, right? Yeah.
Yes, apart from the performance, economics.
No, you know, it's so cool. Like, you can configure the interior literally like a Lego, you know, the way you want it. And I think that's the flexibility the market needs. You know, today if you're going to a customer and saying, give me $70 million, $70 million for a plane, give him something to choose from. You don't tell him, okay, this is the plane, this is the bed, this is the sofa. Like, give him something where he can build, reinvent. You know, I mean, customers love to play around, right? And I think that's the opportunity this brings. Absolutely.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for your time
today. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It's been fascinating to learn about what you guys are doing in India with Jetset Go and about the overall situation of the Indian executive aviation market.
Absolutely.
It's a part of the world that I think will play a significant role in years to come.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it'll be the number one market soon. Thank you
Very
so
good.
Much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you like this podcast, you can support us by giving it a great rating on Apple, Spotify, or whichever platform you get it from. And remember, you can, of course, subscribe to it. And you can also get regular updates through the Allplane website. That's allplane.tv. We have a newsletter where we cover the aviation industry every week with a special focus on innovation and sustainability. So give it a go. Thank you and goodbye.